Good afternoon to you. We are so glad to be able to be with you the very last day of May, and we are thankful that the Lord has let us be able to make it through another month. We're glad that you are with us today, and we hope and pray that your questions are really popping and that you're ready to call in right now and give us your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. A very good afternoon to you, and we hope and pray that you will be blessed from the things that we discuss today on today's broadcast. This is live, and both lines are available right now. If you want to call, you can get through. 308-9564 is the voice line. 308-9564. All the phone numbers that we give are area code 843, so we would encourage you, if you let people know that it's outside this area, let them know that it is area code 843, and you can have them, no matter where they're at in the world, join us for today's broadcast. They can tune in via TuneIn Radio. If they have a smartphone, they can download that if they don't have it already, and find the radio station WJNI 106.3. and be able to join us right now live anywhere in the world. Or they could go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com. That's BibleAlone.com. And they can hit the live stream button and tune in that way as well. Either way, be sure to let your friends and family, those that are seeking after God, that have questions about what God says in His Word. Maybe you have a question about something that was said in church today. There are so many things that man is coming up with that is totally contrary to what God expects of us. It's important to find the answers to those questions here and now before we meet God face to face on that great day of judgment. Please let us be ready to find the answers. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line. There's one other way that you can communicate, and we're happy to be able for you to contact us this way as well, which is our text line, and that is area code 843-725-9283. Either way you wish to communicate, you can communicate right now. We are in the studio ready for your questions to be asked, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. One more time, the voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available. Hey, that's kind of rare. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564 to call in your question. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. It has been 2 weeks in a row now. We've had calls coming in before the broadcast actually starts, and we absolutely love it. So please, we encourage you to go ahead, call in your questions right now. Don't wait. Go ahead, call in your questions. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it so we can point you to God's Word. That's a novel idea, isn't it? Not hearing us or our opinions, but we will point you to God's Word so you can find out what God has to say to the question that's on your heart and on your mind. And that way you can see it yourself and you can understand even more what Romans 10:17 says, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So your faith should come from the Word of God. You should be able to look in God's Word and see the answers to the questions that are on your heart, and that will increase your faith because that will be between you and God. We have Erica calling in this question. Erica, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Erica's question says, I've been a single mom for 2 years. What does the Bible say about me marrying again? Well, Erica, that is a good question, and I can relate to you being a product of a single mom myself. And I can point you to what God's Word says considering about you. You specifically talk about marrying again. So I'll point you directly to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is 40 verses. The whole thing is dealing with either being married or unmarried. It uses the term virgins for those who be unmarried. It talks about those who are married as a one believer married to an unbeliever and vice versa. And so the whole chapter, that whole context is good read for you, Erica. But specifically concerning your question, verses 10 and 11 would directly answer your question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 through 11 reads, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." So here the Holy Spirit is using Paul to write this, and he specifies that this is not me, Paul, saying this. This is a commandment of the Lord. So he specifically clarifies that, okay? He says, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And the husband is not to divorce his wife." So, Erica, that is what God's word says concerning your specific situation. And so, once again, the whole context, that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, would be good for you to read. Also, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, would also be a good read for you. Hopefully, that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. 308-9564, 308-9564 to reach us here at the station to call in your question, or you can text in your question. The text line is 725-9283.
We are live, and now you can call in your question. The lines are available. 308-9564, 308-9564. You can call in right now and be the next one through to be able to get your question in. 308-9564. If you'd rather, if you have a smartphone or a phone that texts, you can text in your question to 725-9283, and we will go to the Bible for the answer to the question on your mind. We have this caller calling in where they want to know about something that they heard on another radio personality mention. They want to know about jobs in heaven. They heard that that was going to be the case and by some other person that teaches the Bible on the radio. Well, let's just go to the Bible for the answer. What we see going on in heaven is depicted almost exclusively in the book of Revelation. And what we see here is worship going on. In chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song, singing, 'Worthy, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, that you, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Worthy is the Lamb, they were saying. Tens of thousands and thousands of thousands saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory." Well, we see that not only there in chapter 5, you can look into chapter 7, beginning verse 9, and go all the way through the end of the chapter. You can go also into the book of Revelation in chapter, chapter 15. You can see a scene there where they were singing the song of Moses in chapter 15, verses 3. Through 3 and 4. Again, what you see here is worship going on. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. But what you don't see, okay, someone over here has got to mow the grass, and then someone else over here has got to do this task and this task and this task. There are things that we're going to be doing in heaven, but it will be focused on God because He is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. And that will not be focused on us, but on Him. Now, God certainly will be focused on us in because we have been blessed by the blood of the Lamb. But that right there is the focus that we can see depicted in the book of Revelation. Now, other than that, throughout the Bible, all we see is rest going on. And so you don't see work and jobs like what we go and do today. So, thank you so much for your question. We appreciate it very much. We hope and pray that that has been some benefit to you and that you will continue to listen and call in your questions. Do you have a question? We're about to take a break. While we are at break, don't hesitate to continue to call in your questions. Now, we're about to tell you about the correspondence course, which is free of charge. It is something that you can study in the privacy of your home at any time you want to. You will send it in the mail this week. You will get it, and we are happy to be able to send it to you. Again, that is free of charge. Just call this operator standing by. There'll be a computer that answers, and that number is 553-5157. If you've never gotten the course, don't leave this life without knowing the things that's in it, because it may not turn out well. Most churches do not teach the whole truth. Let's find what God's Word says so that we will not be caught unawares or by surprise on that day when we meet God face to face. Go ahead and call right now to get it on its way to you, 553-5157. Here's more information on it if you want to hear a little bit more about it. While we are at break, continue with your questions. The question numbers are 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are so glad to be able to have you in our audience today and that you are listening, not to us, but to what the Bible says, to the questions that are called in. Now, do you have a question? Maybe something happened today at church, or you've been studying and reading a passage and you would like to know more about that or more background in God's Word on that. Well, you can call right now, 308-9564, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Now, those of you that are longtime listeners know that the questions tend to pile up toward the end of the broadcast. So if you have a question, you should call in right now to get your question in, because sometimes we're not able to deal with all of them before the end of the broadcast. So now's your chance, 308. There's one line available, so let it ring when you call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Concerning that Bible correspondence course we just mentioned to you, did I mention to you that it was free, that we will never ask for your money? No donation. Just put your checkbook away. Put your money away. Do not send us your tithes or your offerings or any kind of contribution. Let us send you treasure, eternal treasure that will never be taken away from you. Now, to get this to you, all you have to do is to call 553-5157. Ask for the course, give your name and address, and follow the instructions, and we will be more than happy to send it to you free of charge. So don't miss out on it. 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send it to you. It'll be in the mail this week. So go ahead and call right now, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, you can call us. The voice line is 308-9564. Chuck, you have the next question.
Yes, Sandra calls in this question. Sandra, we appreciate you listening to the broadcast, and thank you so much for calling in your question. Sandra's question is based off of something called the Sea of Forgetfulness. And so I will first lay the groundwork of answering this question by letting you know that the phrase Sea of Forgetfulness is not found anywhere in God's Word. So first, let's understand that. However, I did some research and I found the verse which the idea of the Sea of Forgetfulness comes from. The verse that thought comes from is Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 that says, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities." Iniquities is sinfulness. And he says, "You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." So that's the verse where they get that idea from as far as the Sea of Forgetfulness. But that's that phrase, Sea of Forgetfulness, is not included anywhere in God's Word. And so as far as God forgiving and forgetting our sins, well, we have that promise from him. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, he tells us that very thing when he talks about making a new covenant with them. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, and I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I'm not finding the verse where he says their sins and lawless deeds are. Oh, yeah, in verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, see, there's two ways we can go with this. First, he says, your sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. And so he promises us that. And so when we are in Christ, if those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ and have committed themselves to Christ and living God's word out, we see that he promises us that he will remember our sins and lawless deeds no more, because Christ washes away our sins. And we must also remember, though, along with that, verses that admonish us concerning the things that we do present in our body. So even after you have obeyed the gospel of Christ and trying to live godly, those sins kind of you start to commit new sins. So you may have been forgiven of your past sins, but you start to commit new sins. And that's where verses such as 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 9, 10, and 11 comes in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9, 10, and 11, that talks about we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then also when you look at the Revelation, the book of life is mentioned multiple times. And the second part of Sandra's question asks about the book of life. And the second part of her question says, is it possible to have your sins in the sea of forgiveness but still written in the book? And so when you look at the book of life that is mentioned throughout the New Testament scriptures, it is included those who have been saved and those who are in Christ. And in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead, the small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So we must remember that God is indeed willing to forgive our sins, wash away our sins, forget our sins, remember our lawless deeds no more. But as we continue living this life, we must live in a way where we are not living in sin. We are living in righteousness and walking in righteousness. So your name being written in the book of life as a fellow servant and worker of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3 mentions that, as far as fellow workers, workers of God whose names are written in the book of life. So I know I threw a lot there at you, Sandra, but hopefully that's been helpful to you. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That was Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, Philippians 4 and 3, and Revelation 20 and verse 12. 308-9564, 308-9564, to let the Bible speak.
We are live, and so go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. You can call in. Both lines are available right now, 308-9564. We have Denise or Dennis. I forget which one is it. Denise. Denise calling in this question. Sorry about that. She says, my son accepted Christ as a child, but now at college has left Jesus and is involved in cults and the world and other things. What is his status with God? Well, Denise, first of all, let me say that my heart bleeds with you, because that is a very familiar theme that I have seen repeated often, and something to be concerned about. So let's just go to the Bible. First of all, the phrase accepts Jesus as a child. That is something that an adult must do, and that is someone in order, as a child, would they be willing to make a commitment of marriage to someone? Well, no, because not as a child. Well, the commitment that we make to Christ is bigger than any commitment we'll ever make, and so that is something to be concerned with in itself. Verses of Scripture, Acts 2:38. Those on the day of Pentecost were told, once they knew that Jesus was the Christ, they were told to repent, that is, turn away from sin, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And then they were told to save themselves from this untoward generation, and they were baptized that same day. Mark 16:16 just simply puts it this way. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Romans 6 talks more about that covenant. It says in verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, that we are to die with him, we rise and walk in newness of life. So there is a newness of life that we are to have when we become a child of God. Denise, the reason I bring that out, that phrase, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just is not in the Bible. What we should do is to do what he says for him to accept us. You know, God is God and we are not. And it's not a matter of us accepting him. It's a matter of him accepting us. And the only way we do that is we've got to love him by doing his commandments, John 14:15. But now this dilemma, once they get up and they leave the Lord. Well, first of all, if we have a heart to do what I'm about to read, and that's in 1 John chapter 1, then the Lord says this promise. He says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we've got to walk with the Lord. And that involves, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've got to turn back to him. If by chance we do not turn back to him, then let me encourage you to read 2 Peter. Just go back one page in your Bible, probably. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Denise, read that as well, and we'll see the gravity of which that is on his heart. And so please consider that as well. So what do you do? Pray, pray, pray. Once they are of age, only God and their heart themselves can make the difference. And so please, that was 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, Romans 6, verses 3 through 7, and last, 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate your question very much. The number is 308-9564. That is the voice line. You can call in right now. Both lines are available. If you are interested in knowing more of God's Word, then don't hesitate. Go ahead and call the information line that we're about to tell you. We'll send this course to you free. By the way, most churches today are restricted from telling what the Bible says. Yes, that is true, because they must remain within their denominational box. Don't be caught off guard on that day when we stand before God. Learn the truth now. Go ahead and call the information line, the correspondence course. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Here's more information on it. If you would like to enroll, don't hesitate. It is absolutely free. So if you have a question, call the radio station right now, and we'll be glad to get your question on the air today, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are serious about that. The course is absolutely free. You will receive a blessing that will never be taken away from you. Why not learn the truth? Go ahead and enroll in that course, 553-5157. It is free. We will never ask for any kind of contribution. My wife informed me the other day there's one of our students that has gone through 24 courses, 24 different courses of study. Now, how about that? Yes. And hopefully they're listening right now. We recognize it. We see that. We see your hunger and thirst, and we hope and pray that you have received the blessing from this, and we have never charged anything for any of that, nor will we for you. Go ahead and get the first course on its way to you, which is comprehensive, by the way, 553-5157. The lines are available. You can call right now and get that course coming to you absolutely free. And you'll fill it out. You'll study it. You'll fill it out. Send it back to us. We'll grade it. And by the way, you can study it anytime you want to. We'll grade it and send the next lessons to you. We send the lesson one the first time. Then when we get that back, we send lesson two and three. And you fill those out, study them, and then you send those back. We grade them and send you the next lessons, 4, 5, and 6. And that's the first course of study. So at least go through that. What have you got to lose? Well, maybe a whole lot more than you ever imagined, because ignorance is not bliss, not now, and it certainly won't be on the day of judgment. Let's learn the whole truth, see where we stand with God, so that we will not be caught off guard, surprised on that day, and say like those individuals in Matthew 7 and verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and in your name done many wonders? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So let's not hear those words to any of us listening today. Let's find the truth. Let's find out what God expects, find out what his law says, so that he will end up saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. How do you get that to you? Call 553-5157, and you'll get that first course, and it will open your eyes to a lot of things that are missing in many churches today. 553-5157. Don't miss out. Okay, now let's return to the questions. Chuck, I think you've got the next question.
Yeah, we have a text question. This texter, who is a consistent listener, I was looking through the old messages, and we've heard from this texter about at least twice a month, every month since December. So they're obviously a consistent listener, and we want you to know that we appreciate that. And I'm talking to the person whose number ends in last three digits, 113, who just texts in this question. Thank you so much for being a consistent listener and for texting in and sending in your questions. We really appreciate it. Today, this texter's question is on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. And really, to understand that verse, you must be able to look at the following verses in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all the way down to verse 13, which is the end of the chapter. But before I even get into that, 2 Peter chapter 1 is where I will begin to help you understand what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about towards the end. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 reads, as his divine power, talking about God, verse 2 tells us that. So verse 3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. And so we see there that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that shows past tense, that it's already been done. So if we have all things, do we need anything more? Well, no. If you have all things, then you would be complete or, you know, mature or perfect. And so you would have all the things that you need. And this particular is talking about that pertain to life and godliness. So whatever we need to have to live life godly, and we have those things. So we have to understand what that connection there makes over to the verse that you ask about in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, that says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Verse 9 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But, verse 10, but when that which is perfect or complete has come, then that which is in part will be done away. What this context is talking about here is the revelation of God. It's talking about God partially revealing his will and then completely revealing his will to us. So the part where he mentions these prophecies and these tongues and this knowledge here is in the context of miraculous knowledge. As far as, you know, someone who the Lord blessed to automatically have, you know, knowledge of his word without, you know, personally, you know, doing much to get it themselves. It was this miraculous knowledge, not just man's acquired knowledge. So this is talking about this partial revelation from God, which would be prophecies. See, before the Bible, before God's word was completed, there had to be ways for God to communicate with us. And he did that with prophecies and with tongues, speaking in different tongues and other languages. And he blessed those with miraculous abilities to do that, and the knowledge as well. But he says here that those things are partial. Okay, those are partial revelations of God. They were used to confirm God's word. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20 talks about the signs and wonders that the apostles did. God confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. So before God's word, the Bible, was completed and all put together in the first century, he used these methods here to partially reveal his will and his way to man. But his apostles then carried out their job as they were sent out to do, and taught the word, and then they wrote it down through the Holy Spirit. They wrote those things down, and it was all compiled together, and now has been given to us together, what we have now, which we call the Holy Bible, which is God's word. So now God's word is the completed revelation of God. God's word is complete now. His revelation to us is complete now. We know what we need. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we have it all. We don't need any more. There's no more partial revelation. He has given us the completed or full revelation. And that's what the illustration he uses as a mirror in verse 12. And in verse 11, talk about being a child and becoming a man. Becoming a man, being more complete or mature. So verses 11 and 12, those were illustrations that he was using to drive home his main point, which was, for a while you do things, but when you come to a fullness or maturity or completeness, then those things that you were done before the maturity or completeness are no longer needed. So that's the context of which he is talking about. And once again, you see the connection there between that and the verse I started with, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have been challenged by that type of question. 308-9564, 308-9564, to let the Bible speak.
The lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question. Both voice lines are available, 308-9564. Don't miss out on getting your question in today, 308-9564. We'll go to the questions that you are asking. By the way, I think we're caught up, and so yours will be the next question. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. The text line, if you'd rather text in your question, you can do that at 725-9283. Either way that you desire, you can call in your question right now or text in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. One more time, the voice line is 308-9564. There are several things that are in God's Word that are of vital importance that churches often do not address. And I can't help but think that the god of this world, the devil, the evil one, the god of the air, as referred to in the Bible as well, he is the one that is behind this cover-up, this, if you want to call it a conspiracy or whatever you want to call it. It is keeping people in their sins, not allowing them to know the whole truth that would enable them to be one with God. And what I'm speaking of is the very last step. God, the devil, does not mind if God's people believe, or anybody, if they believe in God, if they believe in Jesus. The devil does not mind that at all. Even he believes in Christ. He's met him. He's been fighting him from the beginning. Even his demons believe and tremble, James chapter 2 brings out. And so belief is no problem with the devil. Matter of fact, the devil does not even mind if people repent. In Matthew chapter 7, those individuals there in verse 22, 23, they were doing good works. And so he doesn't mind if people even repent. He doesn't mind if people even confess their belief in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 brings that clearly, that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that we'll be saved. But yet there's more to it than that. The devil does not mind that. Even his demons do those things. So what is it that the demons and the devil does mind? And what is it that is often being left out of the conversion process taught in churches today? Many times, we've already had a question today based on this, they will say that you've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, how do we do that? It involves not only those things that we just mentioned, belief, repentance from a godly sorrow, a confession, but it also includes being immersed in Christ. Here are the verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Also Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul himself was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And there are many others. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that believe in Jesus Christ, have you completed your entrance into Christ? It only occurs when you are immersed into Christ, that is, in water, for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, also 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. Wow. With all of these verses, with all of these examples in the book of Acts, how did we miss it? Well, we missed it because we were not fed that, because XYZ denomination does not teach the whole truth. Don't be left in darkness. Let's come to the light and find the whole counsel of God. Would you like to know more on this? Go ahead and enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. The number is 553-5157. Here's more information on it. If you have questions, don't hesitate to call them now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, we appreciate you tuning into the broadcast. We enjoy the time that we are having and the service that we're able to offer you. You know, we say it all the time, don't send us any money. We don't want your money. We want an open heart to receive God's word, to receive God's truth, because we're giving it to you with open hearts. We have no ulterior motives. We have nothing we're trying to hide. We want you to know God's word. We want you to know God's truth, because all we're trying to be is disciples of Christ. And that's all we are, and that's all we want to be. And so we are just trying to help you to become a disciple of Christ yourself, because that's what Christ told us to do. He said, go and make disciples. So that's what we are trying to be, and that's what we're trying to do. So that's what the basis of this broadcast is for. So we encourage you to take a listen. We encourage you to study along with us. We encourage you to write down these scriptures. Don't take our word for anything. If we're not telling you book, chapter, and verse, you don't need to be believing us. So we should be able to help you in every way we can in knowing God's word better. That's our aim. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's our purpose. And so hopefully you understand we are very, very sincere in that. So please go ahead, take this opportunity. You can call or text in your question. We have multiple avenues to get in contact with us. You can call in your question at 308-9564. 308-9564. You can call in your question, or you can have it written. You can have it text in. You can text in your question at 725-9283.
725-9283. So don't miss out on getting your question in right now. 308-9564. That is the number. And we will, that's the voice line. You can get in your question right now. Both lines are available. Jump in right now. 308-9564. That is the number. We have a caller calling in this question. Their question is, did Christ or the apostles or early church use instruments of music like they did in the Old Testament? Well, in the Old Testament, in Psalm 150, we see them using drums and cymbals and trembles and dance and many other things throughout the Old Testament. They used trumpets even when there was a sacrifice at the temple. Every time someone's sins were forgiven, the sacrifice was made, there was a blowing of the trumpet. Many other things. By the way, instruments of music were not used in the synagogues. You might be interested in knowing that as well in the Old Testament. However, in the New Testament, we do not see any of that. What we see in the New Testament church is described In Ephesians 5:19, the instructions are given there, and also Colossians 3:16, where we are to speak to one another, we are to teach one another, admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Now, what does that look like? What is that worship supposed to be fashioned? Is it something specific? Well, Hebrews 13:15 shows us the specificness of it is in verse 15. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, in the Old Testament, remember that was drums and cymbals and trumpets and many other things. Well, here in the New Testament, it says the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, that's a big difference, isn't it? Yes, it is. So there's your answer. Hebrews 13:15, Colossians 3:16, and Ephesians 5:19. That's what the early church did. Oh, just by the way, you might want to know this. Did you know that the word a cappella means in the manner of the church? That's where that word came from, in the manner of the chapel. A cappella, that's where it came from. Dude, look it up. See what you see. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. And then there's the text line. If you'd rather text us, that would be 725-9283. Chuck, you have a question?
Yes, we have Julia calling in this question. Julia, thank you so much for your question. Julia's question is on deathbed repentance, asking if someone should depend on that for salvation. Well, the term, you know, deathbed salvation, or actually, you know, anything concerning a deathbed or someone getting saved right before they die, we actually do not see that in the scriptures. As far as that thought process of a deathbed repentance, the word repentance in and of itself, actually, if you really understand what the word repentance mean, you would kind of recognize that it's actually pretty hard to actually even live up to that phrase, deathbed repentance, because the word repentance means a change of mind or heart, as it appears to one who repents of a purpose he has formed or of something he has done. So really the meaning it's in definition itself of the word repentance, it carries with it the idea of you having to do something. It's you're changing what you do. And so the fact that someone would be able to change what they do right before they die, that seems like it would be pretty hard to live up to. Now, I know some of you listening may automatically think of the thief on the cross, and so I was actually wrestling with myself of whether I would even bring that up, but I will, just because it is scripture. And so the thief on the cross was there, and he rebuked the other thief who said something against Christ, and the one thief on the cross said, you know, do you not even fear God? And he asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom, and Jesus responded that, you know, you will be with me in paradise today. And so Christ gave him, kind of a mulligan, and Christ was able to forgive him of his sins. Well, see, that's what salvation is. Salvation is Christ forgiving you of your sins, washing away your sins. And the fact that someone can do that on their deathbed, as in right before they die, for Christ to wash away your sins, as Ricky pointed out earlier before we was going on the break, there's something that you must do to have your sins washed away. What you must do to have your sins washed away is to be immersed, to die with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we're united with him. When we die in Christ, we're united with him.
Now you really emphasize that word "if" there. Now, are you meaning to imply that if we're not baptized into Christ, that we will not be raised with him in newness of life?
Well, the word "if," although it's a two-letter word, happens to be the biggest word in the Bible because it is always dependent upon us.
Oh, so is that what that's saying, or is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm trying to just say what the Bible says. I'm read a verse. And so if you are listening here, we can read this verse, and it says, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So if that is true, then the opposite must be true. So if we haven't been united in the likeness of his death, then I won't be united in the likeness of his resurrection.
Now that's something you don't hear every day, is it? Isn't that a shame? And that's something that could keep people from going to heaven, because that kind of truth is just not spoken of today in most churches.
Yeah, and when we get to verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. See, and verse 6 brings it home and shows us that when we're baptized into Christ, that's the point. That is literally the point where God sees us as dying with Christ, as being crucified with him. That's what verse 6 says. I'm reading right out Romans chapter 6, verse 6. It says that our old man was crucified with him. And we've asked yourself, when did Christ wash us away of our sins? He took upon our sins when he was crucified. That's what he did. And so it all just makes so much sense. And it's so straightforward that the point that Christ washed away our sins, that his blood, actually, we come in contact with the blood of Christ, was when he was crucified. That's when he lost his blood. That's when his blood was being poured out. And that's when his sins was washing away. He was on the cross.
So that means it doesn't occur when I believe.
That's not what the word says.
It doesn't even occur when I repent of my sins?
That's not what the word says either.
Well, what about if I confess? Does that make it... and make God cleanse me from my sins with his blood?
That's not what the word says either. You're getting close.
So you're saying that the actual step that puts us in connection with Christ is when we die with him in baptism.
Well, I'm not saying that, but seems to be that's what the scriptures say.
Okay. That's new information, isn't it? Hopefully it's not to you, but if it is, you should call us, and we will be glad to point these verses out to you in person. The number to get in touch with us is 553-5157. So don't miss out. Don't let this little bit of information that we've pointed out in God's Word go without paying attention to it. We are going to be tested. There is a test. There will be an accounting. Let's make certain there are no surprises. Ladies and gentlemen, we've already gone the first hour. It's done. We are finished with the first hour. We've got 30 minutes left, so don't miss out on getting your question in. The number to call for the question to be answered is 308-9564. This is a live program, by the way. You can call in your questions right now, and we'll go find the answers to the questions on your heart right now. All you have to do is to call 308-9564. That's the voice line. We have an operator here standing by. They can either write your question down and it be brought into us, or you can go live on the air. The choice is yours. The question is yours. The topic is yours. The theme is yours. The answer is from God. We're going to go to his Bible for the answer. So call right now, 308. There's one line available, so if you call and the phone just keeps ringing, understand we're talking to someone else, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. But the number is 308-9564. The text line, you can text at any time at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live again, and we are thrilled to be able to be of assistance to you and continue with your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer to the questions that are on your mind. You are the one that sets the topic. You set the theme, and it is God that gives the answer as we go to the Bible for those answers. And so don't hesitate to get involved and to be able to get your answer today from God's Word. Hopefully you've got pencil and paper ready to write these verses down as we give them to you. We give you book, chapter, and verse, and we will be glad to answer any question that you might have. We have Julia calling back, and she said, thank you so much for the clarity you gave concerning deathbed repentance. And so that was something that she had been taught so much, so long, and to see what the Bible says, she was so gratified, and she was hoping that many people were able to hear that answer. Yes, there is no such thing as that. We've just got to honor God by doing what he says. Now, Julia, being that we have a moment here, you can call in your question right now, 308-9564. I know of one example where a man knew the truth, he learned the truth, and he was on his deathbed. And so he set out to say, I need to be baptized into Christ. And so through a lot of political maneuvering, finally, the CEO of the whole hospital chain finally said, make it happen. And so they took him down to the Whirlpool ward, and they hooked him up to a little lift, and there he was immersed for the remission of his sins that day. Julia, would you be surprised to know that within a week he walked out of the hospital? And so it's amazing. He wasn't healed. He died a few weeks later. But what's amazing is you can see that God will be able to enable you to do what you need to do in order to show ourselves approved unto God. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. Heaven was made for us. God does not want us to go with the devil. He wants us to come home to him. He's our creator, not the devil. So why are so many people choosing the devil, choosing darkness, choosing evil? I just don't have a clue why people would do that, because it is a life of misery. Their life is filled with holes and question marks and confusion, and just wonder why everything's just not working right. Well, when we serve the Lord, everything is right. Let me put it this way to you, Julia, and every one of you that are wondering, when things are right with heaven, everything in this life works just great. No, I don't mean you won't ever be sick or get lost physically, but things are right. We can have joy even in the midst of suffering. So let's show ourselves approved unto God. Let's let the Bible speak in our hearts, in our lives, so that we will not be having to go through what all of these other hopeless people are having to go through. Let's follow God. Now, do you have a question? Go ahead and call right now before we run out of time. We've got about 20 minutes left. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Michelle call in two questions. Well, first question says, does a pastor have to baptize? Well, no, Michelle, we don't see that anywhere in the scripture specifying who has to baptize you or anyone having any kind of anything special about them if they baptize people. So we see nothing about that in the scriptures. There's examples of specifically in Acts 8 with Philip and the eunuch, where Philip was the one who taught the eunuch the truth, and he was the one who baptized him there in the desert. And then we also have a situation with Saul of Tarsus, where he was baptized by Ananias, but Ananias was not the one who taught Saul the truth. I don't believe so. And you see throughout the scriptures, you just don't see anything specifying that a pastor has to be the one that baptized you. As a matter of fact, the one teaching doesn't even necessarily have to baptize you. We see Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 saying that Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So, you know, preaching the gospel is the important thing, and that leads someone to want to be baptized, to have their sins washed away. Once again, Acts 2:38 is another one that shows you what happens when you're baptized. So no, Michelle, it does not say that a pastor has to be the one to baptize you. And Michelle's second question concerning this is, what happens actually are literally in the baptism, and can a person do it themselves? Well, once again, in terms of a person doing it themselves, we don't. That's just not something we see in the scriptures. Going back to Acts 8 with Philip and the eunuch, it says both he and Philip went down into the water and he baptized him. And so every place, every example that we see of baptism, it had someone doing the baptizing of someone who was baptized. And so it's not something that we see someone can do by themselves. As far as what happens,
1 Peter 3:21.
There you go. Thank you. That's why there's two people on live radio and not just one. 1 Peter 3:21 that says, baptism now saves us, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. And that good conscience is you obeying God and obeying what God's word says, having faith in what God's word says. And he is washing away your sins in this act of baptism. And so that's what happens. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. 1 Peter 3:21. Thank you, Michelle, for those questions. We appreciate it. 308-9564, 308-9564 to Let the Bible Speak.
We have a follow-up question concerning just like what you were talking about there from the phone number 732, a text message. Questions are these. Says, are you saying that a person on their deathbed is unable to repent of their sin? Well, first of all, the phrase, are we saying, because as we read something out of the Bible, please do not give us Godhood, because we are not God. God's word is God's word, and all we want you to hear is not us, but what God's word says. And so as we talked about that earlier, there's no such thing as that in the Bible, deathbed repentance from their sins. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, if someone is a child of God, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's verse 9. Verse 7 brings out that we must walk in the light as he is in the light. So we've got to confess, we've got to walk in the light, we've got to repent. And if we are a child of God, he hears our prayers. However, if we're not a child of God, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, God, when we sin, when we commit iniquity, he must turn away from us so that he will not hear our prayers. So if we're not a child of God, we do not have God's ear for him to even hear the prayer so that we could confess all we want. And it would not do any good because it says he will not hear that prayer. That's Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Read it. Take a look at it. The questioner goes on, it says, and again, I'm saying that, are you saying that without water baptism, a person cannot go to heaven? And again, we're not saying anything. But what does Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 mean when Paul himself, after he was praying and was penitent for 3 days, he had a good conscience toward God. He was showing his repentance by not eating or drinking for 3 days. He was praying for 3 days, and yet Ananias told him, now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There, he himself had to be baptized in order to wash or have his sins taken away. So you might ask, or some people ask, well, can you go to heaven with sin on you? Well, that answer is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, where Jesus himself said, depart from me, I know you not, you who practice lawlessness or sin. And so if someone is practicing sin, no, they cannot be pleasing to God, according to Acts 22 and verse 16. Then the texter also gives an illustration where he has led many by their beds he intercedes for them and thus able to help them to be saved. Well, my friend, Mr. EJ, I would encourage you to read 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, where it says there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can intercede for us. He's the only one that can take our sins away. And according to the passage we used earlier, Romans 6, verses 3 through 7, the only way that that is going to occur is for we've got to die with him in the watery grave of baptism. So again, those passages were Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 7, Acts 22, verse 16, 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21, and there are many others. And so thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate that, and most likely a lot of other people have those same kinds of questions. Again, the number is 308-9564. How are we doing on time? Oh, time for our last break. Here's our last break. We want you to know that you can continue to call in your questions. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to answer all of them today, but we will do our best. We'll see what we can do in the 15 minutes that we have left. We'll try to combine some of them together and get them all answered on the broadcast. One more thing before we go to the break. You can follow up and get and download material at our website at BibleAlone.com. They're free of charge. We don't charge for anything. And if you go to the website, BibleAlone.org, you can see on the left-hand side, if you're on a computer, if you're not on a computer, you're on a mobile device, hit the desktop view, you'll see Bible materials. Touch that button, and you'll see a whole list of articles and studies that you can take and study and print out and give out if you want, absolutely free. We are happy to do that, and that will answer many of your questions on this subject. We'll go ahead and take our break now. Don't miss out on getting the correspondence course to you in the mail. It is absolutely free. That number, 553-5157. We'll be right back. Again, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564. Go ahead and call in questions. I think we can squeeze in some more. 308-9564. We'll answer the question on today's broadcast, or do our best anyway. The number for the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Van, I believe, Van calling in this question. It's asked about being born again or being baptized. Can one be enough? Well, being baptized is being born again because, as we pointed out earlier in Romans chapter 6, that when you're baptized, that's what God sees as you dying with Christ. Once again, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Continue on verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Well, in order to be born again, so you're born once physically, and then you have to die spiritually to be raised, to be born again, and you're born again spiritually. That's that second birth. And so that also, as I was speaking, I thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that talks about the natural man comes first, as in the first Adam, and then afterward, the spiritual man, the second Adam, which is Christ. And so the physical comes first and then the spiritual. So your physical birth is first and your spiritual birth is second. And so that's what Romans chapter 6 is talking about here. When you when you're baptized into Christ, that is the point where God sees you once again as being crucified with Christ. And when Christ was crucified, that's when he died for the sins of the world. That's when the sins of the world was being washed away. On the cross when he was crucified. So in order for our sins to be washed away, we must come in contact with that blood. And when we come in contact with that blood, with that crucifixion, with that death, right here, Romans chapter 6 shows us that is in baptism. Once again, Romans chapter 6, that whole chapter, Romans chapter 6, read that whole chapter. It's really, really straightforward. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, and I'll come back to Van's question after this. Ricky?
Yes, we have Aaron calling in this question. He wants to know, life after death, will we recognize each other in heaven? Well, Aaron, I would encourage you to read the first part of Matthew chapter 17. That's where Jesus was transfigured. It says Peter, James, and John went with him on the top of the mountain, and there he was transfigured as Moses and Elijah appeared to him. Somehow, Peter, James, and John recognized them, although they'd never met them. They had lived hundreds and hundreds of years before. So how did Peter, James, and John recognize that that was Moses and Elijah? Yeah, that kind of answers our question, doesn't it? But here's another one. You can look in Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. and you'll read the story of the rich man and Lazarus and how both of them died and how that the rich man was in the fire of torment and he was able to look across the great gulf, and there he recognized Abraham because Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and so he calls him Father Abraham. How did he know that was Father Abraham? So there again, we see more evidence that, yes, we will recognize one another in heaven. And so hopefully that will be helpful to you. That's Matthew 17 and Luke chapter 16, and you will see both of those answers there. Thank you, Aaron, very much. Again, the number, if you have a question you'd like to call in your question right now, call 308-9564. 308-9564. Chuck?
Van's second question was on soldiers being sprinkled on the battlefield, asking, so basically, is sprinkling a form of baptism? Well, from what we see in the scriptures, no, it's not. We see Mark chapter 1 and verse 5 specifies that John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River. And so it was saying, we see that example there. Also, there's Acts chapter 8 and verse 38, that says that Philip and the eunuch, it said they both went down into the water and he baptized them. So there are two vivid examples showing that the bodies, both people were in the water.
And the word burial is attached to that in Colossians 2 and verse 12, and then also Romans 6 and verse 4. Their baptism is called a burial. And so if you go to a funeral and you go to the graveyard where the body is going to be buried, they don't just sprinkle a little water on or dirt on top of it. No, they put it under the ground. And that's what the word burial means. And that's what the word baptism means. Thank you so much. That was Colossians 2:12, Romans 6:4, and
Mark 1:4 and Acts 8:38.
All right. We are glad to, we sure do appreciate your question very much, and we hope and pray that was beneficial to you. We have a quick question here from the last three digits of 472, and their question is, hello, there's a lot of talk of about the blood moon or Shemitah or some awful thing happening this year. What does the Bible say? Okay, get ready to write this down. Here's the answer. The answer is, okay, see, not much ink was involved in that at all. The Bible says nothing about that, absolutely nothing. Those are things and things like that that many times preachers will hype up and get people all worked up into a flurry just to be able to get a following. Ladies and gentlemen, man should not be followed. The man should be followed, the man Jesus Christ. He's the only one, and we better listen to him. And, of course, the New Testament says absolutely nothing about those things. So let's listen to him. He says nothing, and so let's not get upset over something that man has worked themselves up into. Chuck.
We have the one last question I see here. Melanie calls, ask about head covering and asking, is head covering acceptable today? Well, that would lead you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16.
And honestly, chapter 11.
I'm sorry, 11. Yep, that's right, yep. 1 Corinthians 11 in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1 through 16, so the first 16 verses. And I'm assuming, since Melanie is asking about it, I'm going to safely assume that she probably has read this and knows kind of what it says, as far as there's really nowhere else in the scriptures that mention it besides this. And so we can point out what it says in verse 3 and 4 and 5. That talks about every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one the shame as same as if her head was shaved. And then it talks about that a woman's head shouldn't be shaved. And so it kind of goes on. And honestly, as far as letting the Bible speak and not getting into, you know, my opinion or anything like that, Melanie, I'm going to have to apologize, but we're going to have to leave it as just what the word says. I can't tell you whether or not it will apply to today or not. There's some kind of debate about the prophesying also and the praying. And so I can't necessarily say, anything more than what the scripture says. It says if a man praying or prophesying shouldn't have his head covered, and a woman praying or prophesying should. That's what God's word says.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 through 16. And just read it. Just read it all the way through. And then, okay, what did I just read? And there you got it. Again, the number is 308-9564. Our time is up. We want you to know that we were able to get to the questions today. Go ahead and call 553-5157 for the Bible Correspondence Course. And we are more than happy to send this to you absolutely free. You see, studying the Bible for yourself will build a faith that comes from the Word of God, of all things. Let's not believe man. Let's just see it for ourselves, see the answers for ourselves. Let God build our faith, and that will only come through His Word. And you know, here's what's going to happen. As we start seeing all the truth, then the blinders that the wicked one has put on us will start coming down, and we'll start seeing things we've never seen before, but we've got to see the truth for ourselves. Why not get this course on the way to you? Why not get all of the truth revealed as you see it directly in the Bible? It doesn't matter what translation, just find the answers in God's Word so that we will have no surprises on that day of judgment. Go ahead and call 553-5157 and let the Bible speak.